We're up to the mitzvah of Megillah Moshe, which is the third mitzvah. And it is the very first mitzvah, obviously, that deals with something you're not allowed to eat, and that's the sciatic nerve. And that's a zecher of Yaakov Avinu's struggle with the malach, or the malach sarah shel Esav, hit him on the thigh, and the next morning he was limping, although he got a refuah, Baruch Hashem. And because of this, B'nai Yisrael, how's it going? Yeah, Yaakov was yeah, it says, V'yabba Yaakov Shalom Yerushchan. Shalom means he was given a refuah, yeah. But L'zecher, that encounter with the Sarah Shel Esav, B'nai Yisrael do not eat the Gid HaNasha. The Sefer HaChinuch says that why is that so important, that Yaakov was limping? Because Maisa Avay Simen Labanim, what happens to the Avais is a simen what happens to us. And night is a remez of Golos, and Sarah Shel Esav is a remez to the Keichas of Esav that tried to destroy the Jewish people. And the message is there's going to be a long, dark night of Golos. And these enemies will try to destroy us and subjugate us and hurt us. But then eventually, you see from Yaakov Avinu, the day will come, the morning will come. And in the morning, the enemy that tries to destroy you will give you a bracha. But you'll be injured, meaning Hashem is saying, Golos is not going to be easy. There's going to be casualties. We'll be limping along. But even those who hated you will give you a bracha. Right? The angel gave Yaakov the bracha that your name is Yisrael. You've triumphed, Sarisa. You've triumphed over these powers. And therefore the Sefer HaChinuch says, every time we don't eat the Gid HaNasha, we remember Hashem's promise that even though we're in the darkness of Golos, there's going to be a Boker, there's going to be a Yeshua. Right? That's a very important, idea, that the Gid HaNasha. Now the Gid HaNasha is the sciatic nerve. It's a major, big, big nerve that runs across the whole hind quarter of the animal from the thigh down to the leg. Now, technically, if you take out the Gid HaNasha, you can eat the basar, but it's very difficult. It's a very technical, difficult skill to remove the Gid and the Chelev. There's Chelev and Shuman around the Gid. Chelev is treif anyway, and the Shuman of the Gid is usher midrabanan to eat, even though Shuman is kosher fat. So it takes a lot of skill to be menaker the Shuman and the Chelev around the Gid. So because of this, the minhag was in places where meat is available cheaply, like the United States, that kosher slaughterhouses do not sell hind quarters of animals at all to Yidden, meaning to say they shech the cow, and the whole half of the animal, the whole back half of the animal where the Gid is located, they just give to Goyim. They sell
the right and the left.
Yes, the Gid is on both sides. The Gid is on both sides. Yeah. Because it's too hard to do it, etc. In Eretz Yisrael, in other places, they actually do nikur, because there's not so much meat, so they do nikur. And that actually means that certain cuts of meat, I'm not going to give you a butcher shear, I'm not a buck unit either, but for example, a cut called sirloin steak. Sirloin steak is from the back of the animal. So you can't get it in America unless it's special order. If you pay, you go to a gourmet restaurant, they'll get a cow and get a menaker, but you know. But in terms of mass production, sirloin steak is not available in a kosher market because it's totally unneaker. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't call it that, whatever they call it, it's cut number one, they have numbers here, but whatever they call it, you can get the cut of sirloin steak in Eretz Yisrael because they talk it to unneaker. Okay. There was a little bit, there's a very, very famous Shiloh with Rav Yonis and Apeshitz. Actually, Rav Spitz wrote about it a few weeks ago. But it's a very, very important, in which there was a menaker who came around time of Rav Yonis and Apeshitz 300 years ago. And basically said that Yidden have misidentified the Hanasha. He pointed to this for Dairi Dairis, they thought it was that nerve. He said it was another nerve that wasn't a nerve. Mela, everybody's eating nevela, not nevela, everyone's eating non-kosher meat because, when we throw away the hindquarter, we talk we don't have a problem, but they were doing nikkur, and he says they were doing nikkur on the wrong thing. So Rav Yonis and Apeshitz said, I'll bring you a raya that you're wrong. Because it says in the smog said from Mrs. Gadol, one of the Rishayim, Rav Yishai Mikutzi, that the Gid HaNasha applies to Zecharim and the Kevites, to male and female, And the particular gid that this menacher identified is only in male animals and not in female animals. And Bibalt the smag says it's nayeg, bischarm of nekeves, it has to be our gid hanasha, not his gid hanasha, because our gid hanasha is both bischarim and nekeves. As I state in the Vienna Synapses, the Velt says this is an absolute pele, pele pele. Because when the smag and the chinuch say a mitzvah is nayeg, bischarim of nekeves, it doesn't mean it applies to male animals and female animals. Well, when it says whatever the Shabbos is nayeg bischarim, right? It means it applies to men and women, as opposed to some mitzvahs that say that only apply to men. So Rav Yehuda Synapses is using that statement nayeg bischarim of nekeves to be kaveya. What's the gin hanasha? So it's pile kolan mamish, an absolute pella that a guy in Rav Yehuda Synapses. He doesn't need me to be Meshabeach his godless, but it was a Meshunadika, Godol and Eloi, and how could he make such an obvious mistake? It's not shy if he made such a mistake. So some say, you know, he felt the Menachah was an Amoritz, he wanted to be Deicha and Bakash, whatever it is. In fact, the Amoritz, the person didn't even come back with the Kaddish. The United States just basically made someone that he had a Cheshbon, he was going to give him a totally Krum Raya, and see if the guy with chafed was a krum raya. So, didn't even chafed was a krum raya. That's a raya, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because I told him something wrong. Okay. That's a dangerous strategy to play, but okay. We now have a real answer for this. It's very interesting. Achreinim give pulpulim, they give different terutzim. But around 10 years ago, somebody actually found the ksav yad of the Crazy Place. Crazy Place is Rav Anderson's Oras on Yom Hadayah, where he writes this. And in the Ksav Yad, it first says Reisi Bismag, Samach Mem Gimel. And it came back, actually it wasn't said, it was the first printing, it came back, and Rav Anderson was proofreading it. He crossed out Samach Mem Gimel, and instead he put Samach Hei Nun. Samach Hainun is a sefer called Seder HaNikur, which is a manual from the Rishayim on how you're menachim. And in the Seder HaNikur, the Lashon is not like the Smag, Nayeg B'scharmu V'Nekevas, but it says B'Feirish, Nayeg B'Behemos B'scharmu V'Nekevas. So Manila Yenison said the printer who printed off his Ksav Yad misread Samach Hainun in small letters to be Samach Mem Gimel, because he never heard, he didn't know what Samach Hainun was, he figured it was Smad was close enough. So we now have a Pashut HaTorah. Rav Yehuda Synapses never meant the Smad, he meant a Sefer that indeed Beferish says is going in animals, right? So that's Pashut, that's a Torah that you can't slug up at all, because this person had a first printing of Crazy Placy that was mamish corrected by Rav Yehuda Synapses, and Mela, all the populim are no longer necessary for that particular yishuv. Now, on the union of Gid HaNasha, so the Chafetz Chaim makes two important points. He says that the Gid HaNasha is a commemoration of the struggle that Yaakov has with the Sarei Shel Esav. So he says, why do you find that the Sarei Shel Esav or the Kayach HaTumah is only misnagei to Yaakov and not to Avram and Yitzchak? We wanted to find a similar fight, struggle. So the Chafetz Chaim Kainis, it's Yadua, that each of the Avais is connected to one of the things that the world rests on, right? Taira Aveda Gemilas Chasadim. Avraham is the Amud of Chesed. Yitzchak is the Amud of Aveda, Tfila, Korban. And Yaakov, who learned 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem V'Yevar, represents the Kayach of Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim says, a very, very important insight. The Chafetz Chaim says, the Kayach of Satuma are perfectly happy to let Yidden be Isaac in Chesed and Aveda when it's not coupled with Torah learning. Why? Because Chesed and Aveda that's not coupled with Limud HaTorah
is not going to have a kiyum. It may last for a short amount of time. Eventually, it's going to be dropped. So the derech hayetzer is, he will let yidden be oisek in ruchnius if the ruchnius is not going to have a kiyum. So memele, he's not misnage to Avram, which is the kayach of chesed, and he's not misnage to Yitzchak, that's the kayach of Aveda, because it's kind of saying, let them do their stuff, it'll last for a few years, it won't be nimshach. But the segula of Torah is that it creates a hamshacha l'dayre dayres. When yidden are mushrish in Torah, then it goes from one door to another door. That already, the kaychas atuma, have to be misnagged. Again, if you know your American Jewish history, you actually see this. The first immigrants to the United States in the 1800s, they were primarily social welfare. They built hospitals, they built fraternal lodges. Again, it's important. Chesed is very important. It is al shleisha dvarim ha'ilamayimet. Right? For a person to say, I just learned, I don't do chesed, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Mivamas. Kala Aimer Ainli Yala Tyra. The person that says, all I care about is Tyra, Afilu Tyra Ainli. Avada, he doesn't have Tyra either. Avada, Sriya Mudim. Tyra Avada Gemilas Chosadim. But the Chavetz Chaim point is that without Tyra, the other two have no kiyum. And Mimela, the social welfare institutions were the first thing. The second thing were great, great, magnificent synagogues for kindness of Avada. But what happened is you can go to any major city in the United States, and even not major cities, and you'll see beautiful, beautiful synagogues that are now churches. They're just abandoned. People move. They're just abandoned. That they tell. I mean, they tell the story about a beautiful, beautiful synagogue was being dedicated, and the local priest from the church came to the dedication. Now, he wasn't invited. So somebody asked him, like, why are you here? He says, I want to see the building we're getting in 25 years. Mm-hmm. And now Al-P did. It's actually us who to sell the shul to a church. And in America, they worked out all sorts of heterim. They sell it to a middle. Whatever. It was a real problem. Halachically, it's a problem. Chilul Hashem, it's a problem. Your Machalik, Lucius Basin, that's a problem. All right, whatever. They did what they did. But that's why you'll see big, big churches that still have the Magen David, that still have the Aseres HaDibros in stone, that were Bate Knesses, that are now Mechul. So Yiddishkeit in America, to the extent there is Yiddishkeit in America, really dates only from after World War II, or during World War II even, when Rav Aaron came, Gedolim came, there were Miyasid Yeshivas, there were Miyasid Mekaymus of Torah, Lakewood and Torah Vadas, and the different Meisner Yisrael, the different Meisters. And then already, Yiddishkeit had a kiyum. Yiddishkeit had a kiyum. Chavetz Chaim's words are 100% the way it happened in America. The mail of the Chavetz Chaim Taina is that the Sara Shalesev is only misnage to the Kayach of Taira and not to the Kayach of Aveda and Gemilas Chasadim, because Hadam, that's also Ruchnius, but it's a Ruchnius that's not going to have a kiyum. It's not going to be Nimshach from door to door. After a while, people are going to leave it. They're going to lose their sentimental connection to those things. They're going to leave. That's point number one the Chavetz Chaim makes. He makes point number two, which is an important nekuda. He brings from the Zayar HaKadosh that why does the Sara Shel Esav hit Yaakov on the thigh? So Zot the Zayar, the Sara Shel Esav wants to be Eiker the Kayach HaTayra from Am Yisrael. But he's not Matzliach. There will always be Yidden, even if it's a Miyot, who are going to be Meister Nefesh Lagamri for Torah. Even if they're going to eat Paschal Melech Teichel, even if they would live in poverty. Right? There will always be people, Yechidim, L'chol HaPachas, who are going to be connected to Torah no matter what. So the Sara Shel Esav had no ability to take the Kayach of Torah from Klal Yisrael. But he had a partial victory, the Chavetz Chaim says. The Zohar says the thigh is a remez to machzikei Torah. The thigh supports the body, so the thigh represents those who support Torah. So he couldn't take away Torah, but he won. He had a partial victory that the economic support of Torah is always going to be shvach. It'll be shvach. This is the klala of Esav, that the support of Torah is going to be weak. So the Chafetz Chaim is reputed to have said, although this is not in his sefer, that any yeshiva that doesn't have financial problems, one is mesupik whether it's an authentic maaseh of Torah. Because yeshivas are supposed to have financial difficulties. Ah, so what does that mean? So I go to a gevir, you know, I want money for yeshiva. She says, no, you're supposed to be poor. Well, yeah, I'm supposed to give you money? Sarah Shalaisab said you're supposed to be poor. That's the mitzachin. Well, the answer is like this, like everything else. The Eibishter created a teva, but he's then mechayev us to try to... I mean, the example is, you know, one of the klalos of Chava. Chava was cursed that childbirth would be painful. Be etzev tel dibonim. So in the 19th century, in the 1800s, doctors developed anesthesia for childbirth. Anesthesia, so you don't feel pain. So there were Christian clergymen who said, can't take anesthesia. You're machoyev to suffer. That's what they said. It says, if Chava was cursed, the woman has to suffer. Now, al pi halacha, we never said that. Al pi halacha, what do we say? The Eibishter created a teva. This is the teva of Shalayla. But we have rishus to try to be meikel and mishana the teva. That's nichlal in refuah. Nitin rishus the rofei l'rabbos. We don't say, I mean, that's like saying, oh, if you don't get sick unless Hashem is geyser, so maybe you can't go to a doctor. Why do we don't say that? Yeah, chayli comes from the Eibishter. But the Eibishter gave us a chayva of ishtalus. So it's stuck, it's better that way. Even if you say that the Eibishter enabled the Sorah Shalesev to make Achzakas Torah weak, but he gave us Nachrayas to do what we can to strengthen it. Right? So you can't use that as an excuse not to support Torah, right? That would be fakert from the union of Ishtatlus, right? Achzakas Torah.
They didn't use plows and like that.
The what?
They didn't use like tractors and they came out to ease the man who's sweating.
Right, the same thing. Well, you're exactly right. We don't say, you know, you got to sweat, right? You're allowed to have air conditioning. Or you have to use machines, whatever it is. Although the Stipler, by the way, just has nothing to do with that particular example. The Stipler, of course, lived in Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak is very hot and very humid. Bnei Brak is very uncomfortable in the summer, much more so than Yerushalayim. The Stipler refused. It didn't even have a fan. Stipler did not have a fan in Bnei Brak, which is very, very difficult. He says he doesn't need luxuries, he said. Now, I think has even air conditioner. Okay, whatever. The Dervish changed, whatever. But Stipler did not want anything that was perceived as a luxury in life. But a fan in Bnei Brak is almost pikuach nefesh. It really is very, very difficult. But okay.
They say they installed it in the Rav Chaim's house when he wasn't there.
In Rav Chaim's, the air conditioning.
Yeah, he never wanted, because okay. Stipler never wanted, and then while he was out one day.
Right. Now, Rav Chaim always had a fan, though. That was the chiluk in the Dervish. Stipler, no fan. Rav Chaim was willing to be a couple of fan, didn't want an air conditioner. Okay. And then, as we get further and further, okay, whatever, okay. Still, listen, I mean, whatever it is, they're much greater than all of us together, but okay. So the Seder. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim says, that the Maaseh HaTorah are always going to be shvach, based on an idea. But what I wanted to share with you is really totally Shaloki Inyan, because we'll get into Gittin Mashiach next week a little bit. But a Ha'ara from Rav Chaim, on Inyanim of Macholos Asura. So it's really Me'inyan Li'inyan, simply because Gittin Mashiach is Macholos Asura. So I want to tell you another vort about this, and it just shows you the derech, the chlorkites of Rav Chaim. You know, when we look at Rav Chaim, commonly, you know, we see something very, very deep that we don't really understand that well, etc. But I want to tell you a maisa, which really is a lot of Torah in the maisa, which illustrates a different facet of chlorkite. And it's not so much the chlorkite of, you know, an amkus and a daka stick, but the chlorkite of seeing a whole picture, seeing every aspect of a problem, which is something that we can do, even the Fi Madre Gaseinu, to try to see the whole thing. And here's the maisa. Rav Chaim was once at a chasm, and he was talking, learning with somebody, and there was a Polish Rav who kept on interjecting. They were talking in Lumdus and Svaris, and the Polish Rav said, And what about halacha l'maisa? What about halacha l'maisa? You don't do halacha l'maisa, you're clearing chakivas and stuff. So Rav Chaim kind of ignored it for a while, but the Rav kept on saying, every time they said asfaras, and what about halacha l'maisa, shulchan arach, taz, shach, taz, what's going on? So Rav Chaim finally said, okay, you're right, I want to ask the Rav Shaila and see how you pass it. So here was the Shaila. The Shaila was that a non-Jewish woman was cooking kosher meat. Again, the Jew turned on the stove, so there was no problem of bishul akam, but the non-Jewish woman was in the kitchen. But she had with her some meat of her own. Again, there was a mashgiach in the kitchen, but she had some meat of her own that was kept separate. But by accident, somebody slipped, and the non-kush kosher meat fell into a big pot of soup. And the pot may have had 60 times. Now, what's the halacha generally? So if the soup is 60 times, you know, you remove the meat. But if the soup is 60 times the volume of the meat, it's bakal b'shishin. If the soup is not 60 times the volume of the meat, the soup is usher, right? That's a davar pasha. That's bakal b'shishin. But what happened was that the soup, after the meat was removed, the piece was removed, but it was poleg tam into the soup. The soup was partially nishbach, meaning some of the soup spilled out, and you no longer have shishim, and we don't know, was there shishim, was there not shishim? We're mesupik. Was there 60 times the meat when the meat was in there, or was there not 60 times? So Rav Chaim asked the Rav, the Shaila would be, what is the halacha if you're mesupik, if there was 60 times the meat or not 60 times the meat? So the Rav was very happy, because this is actually a beferisha halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. And the halacha is, it depends on whether the Isser and the Heter are min b'minai, are they the same type, or are they different, like milk and meat? If it's milk and meat, which is min b'sheino minai, the requirement of shishim is a Torah requirement, because it gives a distinct taste. Since it's a Torah requirement in min b'sheino minai, if you're masupak, if you have 60 or not, it's a safek isser d'oraisa. And a safek isser d'oraisa, you have to be machmir. If, however, the thing that fell in has the same taste, it's min b'she'eno mino, like nevela with shchuta. Both of them are beef, it was the same cow meat. So min b'minai d'oraisa, all you need is a simple majority. You don't need 60. Only midrabanan you need more than, you need 60. So if you're mesupak, if you have 60, it's only a suffix of an isser d'rabanan, and you can be naked. Now, if non-kosher meat falls into a meat soup, and it's both beef, it's beef into beef, that's called min b'minai. And if you're mesupak, if you have 60, you're going to be naked. B'feresh b'chaper. So the Rav quite properly said, this is what I said. Halacha l'maisa. It's min b'minai. Min b'minai, if you don't know if you have shishim, it's nishad rabbanan, we're meikel. Zei zokter. So Rav Chaim said, but wait a second, sir. L'chaira, if it's non-kosher meat, she probably didn't do malicha to take out the blood. So even if it's true that nevela and shechuta is min b'minai, but this is blood coming into a meat soup, that's min b'she'eno mino. So if you're mesupik, if you have 60 times connected to blood, that's a safek iser d'oraisa. So the Rav said, you're taka right. I was only looking at the iser nevela b'shchuta, which is min b'minai, but this is dam. This is an iser d'oraisa that needs shishin. Safek d'oraisa l'chumra. You're right, Rav Chaim. The soup is usher. Then Rav Chaim said back to the person, but wait a second. The halacha is that if blood is cooked, it's exeris akasev, if blood is cooked, dam shebishlei, it's only an iser d'rabbana, not an iser d'oraisa. So yes, it's min b'she'eino mino, and you need shishim, but the need for shishim is d'rabbana, because dam shebishlei, so mimarashach. The nevela, which is usher d'oraisa, is min b'minai, so you don't need shishim d'oraisa. The blood is min b'she'eino mino, and you need shishim, but it's not the oraisa, because it's dam shebishlei. So either way, it's an iser d'rabbanan. So if you're Masopik, it's only a Safik issue to Rabbanan. So it should be Mutter. So, like you said at first. So the person said, you're right, Takadam Shabishlai is Rabbanan. So the man is a Safik issue to Rabbanan. Mela, it's going to be okay. But then Ruth Chaim said, well, wait a second. The din that Dam Shebishlay is only Usher Drabanan means there's no Isser Dam. But the Dam of a Nevela is still Usher Als Nevela. And on Nevela, there's no Heter of Nevela that was cooked. So it's Nevela, but because it's blood tasting, it's a different taste. So it's an Isser Diaraisa of Nevela, which needs Shishin, the Oraisa. Besides, a suffix is your diaraisa, because dam shebishlay is only a swara in dam, is not a swara in the vela. So the Rav says, yeah, you're taka right, taka. Dam shebishlay, there's an isser in the vela, memela, it's an isser diaraisa, memela, it's going to be usser. But then Rav Chaim said, but wait a second. Who says the dam of an nevela is asher? The Torah asher's basar. The Torah asher's basar. Is dam nevela asher? It's asher al stam, right? But is dam nevela asher al snevela? L'chayra, you might say yes, because there's a Tosfos that says that if you have a trefa, trefa means an animal that was shechted, but that's the simanim of trefa. There's an isser diaraisa of trefa of eating the dam. Dam tamei, Tosfos also says. The blood of a non-kosher animal is not only usher al stam, it's usher al tamea. So you might say dam nevel is the same thing. There's a big difference. Tosfos says that the isai that the blood of a non-kosher animal is usher al non-kosher animal is not because dam is equal to busser, but it's because of another principle that's called hayaytse min atame tame. Meaning, when something is treif, everything it produces is also treif. So since blood is produced by a non-kosher animal, the blood is usser, not only else blood is a separatist, but it's usser because it's the blood of a non-kosher animal. Zot Rav Chaim, that's only a svara by the blood of a non-kosher animal or the blood of a treifa, because blood is produced while the animal is alive. But when you have a nevela means it wasn't shechted. The blood was produced in the body of a kosher animal, a cow. So b'chiyai gavna, the blood is not yaitzeh, it was not created by a forbidden animal. Memela, it's only usher al's blood, it's not usher al's nevela. Memela, if it's cooked blood, there's no isser of blood, it's only an isser drabana. So memela, Rav Chaim said, now, you can imagine, the Rebbe is getting a little confused. So Rav Chaim said, a bazai, either way, you don't need shishin, d'oraisa. Al snevela, you don't need shishin, because it's min b'minai, d'oraisa. And al blood, you don't need shishin, because even though it's min b'she'ino mino, it's only an isser d'rabbanan of dam shebishlay. And the isser nevela on the blood doesn't exist, because it's not shayach, Hayaytse min atame tame, because the blood was nisaba when the animal was kosher. Sach hakol, therefore, the isurim of both the blood and the meat are only isurim drabanan. So if you're not sure if you have shishin, it's going to be a suffix drabanan, the kula, everything's going to be mucha. And he then said, this is how we pasken halacha lemaisa in bris. The lesson about this is actually a very instructive idea. Because this was not what you call Rav Chaim's dakastika amkus. This is a different level of clarkite. This is the clarkite of seeing the whole picture. This is actually something that, you know, we might be able to do even in the Fi Madrigasenu on some level. Just looking at the whole thing. It's like 360 degree view of things. As opposed to sometimes, you know, you focus on one nekuda, but you don't see how the other things work. And that's just a tremendous madrega. But the lesson, of course, is that people sometimes separate lamdas from halacha. They say, oh, it's lamdas. What about halacha lamaisa? People, I want to learn halacha. But this Maisa teaches you an important insight. You want to know halacha l'maisa. You got to think about what you're learning. Halacha is not memorizing a bunch of rules. Halacha is to understand, you know, the yesodos of those rules, and then you're able to pass it. So a true paisek, a true gadol b'ira, certainly has to be a lamda. You cannot be a paisek without being a lamda. Yeah.
But we never follow through to the halacha even after the lomos.
That's another time. Yeah, that's a time. I can write a book on Tainus on the yeshiva way of learning. I'm not saying it's perfect. But all I'm saying is that when people often say, I want to learn halacha, they use it as an excuse, you know, not to go through the studios of a Gemara, when in fact, knowledge of halacha requires it. No, you're right. It could be an avla. You know, in Europe, the Bach wrote on the tour, right? The Bach wrote his Sefer on the tour. So if you look in the Hakdama of the Bach says, the Bach had a yeshiva, and in the Bach's yeshiva, from Elul to Pesach, they would learn a Maseches, and from Pesach till the end, whenever the Ben Hazmanim, I don't know exactly the end of Ben Hazmanim, they would learn the Rif and the Tur on that Maseches, and the Bach's Perish are the Bach's Shiurim on the Tur that he gave in the summer Zman, based on what the Gemara that they learned at the beginning of this month. The Ramah, if you look at the Mordechai, like the Mordechai also is one of the Gedolei HaPaiskim, you will notice in the Mordechai that the Ramah wrote Haggais on the Mordechai. Take any Gemara with the Mordechai, you'll see. Right? And if you look, the Ramah gave a shir in the Mordechai. Right? The Ramah would use the Mordechai to teach the halacha. So there was, until relatively recently, there was really a Hanhaga in the yeshivas in Europe, that part of the year you did the Gemara or the Rishayim, and the other part of the year you went through the Halacha L'maisa on that. Should we do that again? I can't.
Wasn't Chavos Chaim right?
Yeah.
In his introduction on Shavua that you shouldn't get more for anybody to do that, and therefore he wrote the
Shavua as a... Right, he does do that, but on the other hand, he was talking about Balabat, and he was saying for people who were not learning all day, you know, if you're learning all day, it should be shaykh to do that, actually. You know, the Chavos Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah, although rather there's every person can use the Mishnah Berurah, but the Chavos Chaim, if you would ask the Chavos Chaim himself, at least, he said he wrote the Mishnah for Balabatim, not for B'nai Tzair. Now, L'maisa, there's been such a Yerida Sadiris that we all have to use the Mishnah Berurah, but that was not necessarily the intended audience.
Just a shaykh of the Rav Chaim, Maisa, when the meat went into the soup, the blood wasn't cooked. At that time, it got cooked in the soup.
Yes,
so
yes.
So after we say it's Dam Shebishla, that's going to be that they're abiding now. It was already made asur from when it's Dam She.
Yeah. So the problem is this. The problem is that the blood goes from the meat into the soup. Right? Plata of the Yisr occurs because of the Bishul. Right? The Bishul is maflit. Right? The blood in the meat is usher, you're correct. But the blood that enters the soup only enters it after it's cooked. Because any blood that comes out halachically only because it underwent a bishul. Because it's the bishul that's maflit the blood. Memela, as soon as it enters, it's memela dam shebishul, right? That's Rav Chaim Sarcha. But again, it's about now, Rav Chaim himself was Yirei Hara. He didn't want to pass him out. He has Rav of Brisk. He never paskened. He had a very, very chashuva Talmud Chacham, really a gadol b'hayra, Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger, who was his paisek. And every shayla that you ask Rav Chaim, he would give to that paisek, except for pikuach nefesh. Rav Chaim personally was very megal in pikuach nefesh in Yonim, and he insisted on maturing, you know, because pikuach nefesh. But other than that, he didn't want to pasken. Now the story goes, Rav Chaim had a real big shaila that even Rav Simcha Zelig didn't want to answer, so he would ask Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, who is the Gadol Hador in Hayra. But the story goes, whenever he would send a shaila to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, he would always tell him, "Give me a psak." I don't know if it's true, but this is what the Gadol says: "Give me the psak, but don't give me your reasons." Well, what's the psak? Because he said, if you give me a reason in Svara or Lamdas, I'll probably be chaylik. I'll have a different gan, a different mahalik, a different way of looking at it, a different Svara. On the other hand, in every door, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designates the person that has siyata d'shmaya to be machaveh el ha'emes, even if he gives the wrong reason. So if Chaim was batuach, that Rav Yitzchak Ochanan was the paisei kador, that whatever he would be machriya would be the emes, even if it was al pi a derech that was not Rav Chaim's derech halima. So he says, don't give me the reason, just tell me yes or no, that's all I want to know. And I'm batuach, it's emes, but if you give me the reasons, I'll start arguing and it won't be.
In another story, he said the right answer, even though
they were
back and forth, but in the beginning he said it was okay.
Which case did I?
In the previous one.
Oh, the earlier
Masa? Yeah.
That's right. That's an interesting aura. I wasn't damned on that, but it turns out that the Rav's answer was correct. Even though the Rav didn't understand all of the ways you get to it. That might be an example.
Who's
Rav Chaim
send the
Shabbos
to?
Rav Chaim Kineski? No, I'm sorry. We're not talking about Rav Chaim. We're talking about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. I'm talking about Rav Chaim Brisker. No, Rav Chaim Kineski, he paskins sometimes, but who? I don't know. I mean, obviously, he used to send them to Rav Eliezer, his father-in-law. You know, who does Rav Chaim regard as the paisik
ador?
Not that much. I mean, Rav Eliezer is still active in Pesach. I don't know who Rav Chaim would send people to. Actually, an interesting question. We have a little bit of a lack. Another story, I'll just end here. I don't want to tell you Meisim, although I'm going to enter. I'll just say one final little Meisim. That Rebbetzin Leah Orbach, Rav Azriel Orbach's wife, who died before her father, Rav Yashin's daughter, went to an optometrist. She wanted to get glasses that were photosensitive, that the sunlight causes them to darken. And Zmachlekes of Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashin, are you allowed to wear them on Shabbos? Is it Seideya? So Rav Yashin was Machmer. Usually he's Machmer and he's in Yonim. He says it's Seveya, it's Asher. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Machmer it because it's Bemela. You're not doing a Maisa Seveya, just it happens Bemela. And it's temporary and it goes back and forth. So she went to the optometrist. She was looking at the photosensitive lenses because her eyes were hurting from the sun. And the optometrist didn't know who she was. So she says, I don't know, my father says I can get them, my husband, my father-in-law doesn't like it, says, I don't know, I'm not sure. So the optometrist was impatient with this, father-in-law, why don't you ask a paisek, ask a rav for a psalm. That was exactly the shayla. Okay, be well. So next week, Mr. Shem, we'll go into Gid HaNashi and get more ideas.
Do you want to ask a question on the Indian?
No, it's mashma that the Yid HaNashah got dislocated.
Yeah, how the hell is how you end these
things? The nerve was pushed away.
That's not yours, I think.
It's Reich.
Are you going to put on a computer or something?
I'm doing it because I really want to be here. You want it?
Do you have a computer?
Yeah.
So can you keep it on the computer?
Do you have a computer?
Do you have one?
Don't put on a flash drive.
We asked for both sides.
Whatever, yeah.
Even though it was only one side.
The rub was probably confused. I wanted to be like, sort of like us.
It was a physical fight. The question becomes, if represented a spiritual struggle. Again, I thought back to Kinnah, it's very Muslim. Because again, the spiritual, at least part of it, a lot of the spiritual struggle Christ will undergo manifests itself in physical conditions. They're killed and they're tortured. So Yaakov Avinu actually has the tortures of the body as a remnant to the persecutions on Israel is going to undergo. It's about a spiritual meaning. But it manifests itself in the physical materials.
And then the angel. So what happened? He was on the way to leave, and it was all down.
Yeah, physically, the angel.
And who was going to do it? Going to run away, or is going to fly up?
Again, the
well, Rashi says the angel actually said, right.
"If I have all the rules, she
and
I know that
for you." We only get one chance.
In the beginning, and then
I got to go to say she.
I should have.
Yeah, it's interesting that Chaya, an angel, should have been able to. But again, the idea that Chaya had Chaya, and even being scattered, whether it's even not a physical.
Even though it seems that the angel ended up leaving without Yaakov letting him go. Or he says he's not going to go until there's a bracha and they give a bracha.
So then he's letting him go, yeah. Or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe let the angel go once he gives
Yaakov.
And it couldn't make sense here.
That's an interesting part about the two sides.
No, I just can't make
any
more
stuff. What is the
style?
To do it the way that you're
all
about.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. In yeshiva like Rosh Hashanah, we actually have much more of a heter, so to speak, than other yeshivas. I mean, when people come to the Gemara, they're really late, so you need a certain number of years to acquire a derech, and how to learn the Shem, how to learn the Tosfos. So you may really have to put in a kohos for that.
But
the question is, once a person kind of knows that basic level, maybe even here at the base medrash, the higher base medrash, shiurim, the question ought to be at some point we had a transition.
But even, I'm not talking about Rosh Hashanah, I'm talking about mainstream yeshivas.
No, that's what I'm saying. Rosh Hashanah is more of a heter than the mainstream yeshiva. You know, I'll tell you that, I don't know, I really don't know. I mean, they say, Bachim have to get your Bachim, your Gaman, I've raised enough to get a Derech Halimah. But you know, Kemat, every Gadol Rosh Hashiva is no, but he's Sabeach, he complains that the Derek is not a good Derek of Shach. I can give you a whole volume of letters, like 100 letters Rav Shach wrote over 30 years saying that the Derek is not a good Derek.
Wasn't he a product of the same system?
You know, he claims that there was a Shema. He claims that the Derek Halina, he was there, I don't know. He says the Derek Halina that Yeshiva was today was not the Derek of all they're doing is they're taking, the adornments, the parparos. He says in Europe, you know, people finished the Maseches and they chazed it like, you know, 20 times in one time. They finished the whole Masechet Baruch Hu and Tosfos Rishonim and the like, and they chazed it. And then they had Lomdus also. Lomdus was not the main thing. The main thing that they did, he claimed, is that people took over the Tafel after the war. They took over the Tafel and they were Meniach the Yigam. He says the Lamdish Ian, he says, was Tafel. It was not the Yisag of the Derech Halina. That's what he says. And he says that's why it produced Gedalia. Because Gedalia, you know, knew Shas, they knew Masechet. They knew. And when you know Shas, learning Halach is not hard, actually. I mean, if you know Shas, if you were to Chazer Masechet Shabbos 50 times, with Tosfos, you could pick up a Mishnah Berurah, you know, and read it really quickly. In other words, it wouldn't be a big deal. You wouldn't even need so much of a separate, you know, intensive learning of Halacha, because you would know the Rishonim, and then maybe you'd see something like this. Yeah. So Rav Shach says that if the Ikar was people would chazer the Masechtos over and over and over again, not superficially the Kiyas, to know the Tosfos and well, he says. That's how you make a dolman. And he says Chidushim will come to you automatically because you'll have ideas. If you know all the Taisim and Masechtos, so you'll put things together. You'll see Haaretz, you'll see Stiras, you'll see ways of answering Stiras. He says it will come automatically. He says you don't like sit and say I want to be Machadish. The Chidush will come from the Hekif of the ideas that you have. It'll be a very natural process.
So
he says, I don't know why nobody listens. I mean, he says over and over and over again that you have to be Mishan of the Derech. I don't know. It's very confusing to me. Yeah, I was going to say, you want to put money for me? Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. I was saying, don't worry about money because it's going to be troubles anyways.
That's right.
Other than
Rav Shach,
are there other stuff that are written down?
Not so much Biarichas. I mean, the Biskarov made a comment to Biskarov.
Is the whole thing based on
Biskarov? It is, but Biskarov also says it was a whole cloak of Rav Chaim. In fact, Rav Chaim used to say, a person has to learn be'ian, he said, be'ian, at least two blad a week. Two blad a week be'ian. So two blad a week be'ian. So you know, so at least you finish. Masechet says I've chazer like 20 times. So he says, and that was a pshara. And when people said it's not shayach, Rav Chaim said, the person says the reason it's not shayach is because people didn't train themselves very quickly. He says there is a way of learning quickly, and once you get into the habit, you can learn quickly and be mayan. He says it's something you can train yourself to. You don't force yourself to
pick up on the small things.
You pick up, and you know, the small things get clarified. A lot of people, listen, how many times, you know, you're clutching on something in that days, and maybe the Gemara asks it in that flow. You know, it's got to the Gemara, you know. He says, but it was the Brisker Rav in his title had Mitzuyan, had Talmudic Chachamim, so he was going to give shir on Erchim. And he said to them, you know, learn some Gemara first, I'll give a shir in like 3 days. So he comes in after 3 days. He says, where are you up to? He says, well, we're up to Daf Gimel. He says, Daf Gimel? I said, 3 days. I mean, you should have finished the Masechta. He says, why did you finish the Masechta? At least with Maran Rashi. That's what it is. He says, there's never a question. You finish the Masechta. 3 days. Why can't you finish the Masechta? All right, we're not, and that, I've read that these were big on Dunham already. But Ka'enda, you know, it's, The slow is not, I think it's in a lot of ways. But if you chazer over and over and over again, then you really have something. And you'll see it'll be gavaldic for Ian and for Halacha. Halacha will flow. And it'll be shmaki. If you learn the Mishnah Berurah, now you kind of have to memorize. Yeah, it's like memorization. But if you see how it comes out of a sugya, this is going like Taisvis, this is going, you know, it's all that he did. You'll see the godless of Chavetz Chaim, Ber Halacha, you know, extracts from the Shittas, the Gemara, all these different things. So, but they say, in yeshiva you learn how to learn, but then eventually you got to learn. You learn how to learn, it's good, but you got to learn. Then you have to learn. So, you have to go to
yeshiva.
Well, once you're not in a I've gotten enough people out of shir, but once you're not in a shir, so avada you should be in a makam Torah, because in a makam Torah you have chaverim, you have hashpah, right? So avada be in a makam Torah, but then you make your own plans. You're masader your chaverus, you're masader your seder olima. You learn the way you think you ought to learn. With Eitzes, Avada, you get Eitzes and Hadrava. So I'm not.
Most of the Eitzes are not to learn that.
Yeah, okay, well,
you people use Eitzes. So you ask,
whatever. but I'm not saying leave yeshiva. I mean, right. I think a person needs a makom Torah. But you, at some point, you're independent. You're an adult. You're a kodeya. What is best for you? What is the derech that's best for you? How do you grow? How do you know Torah? How do you remember Torah? And you have an achrayus to find derech that's right for you. Not everybody's the same. It's not everything. Okay, you should be zeichet to find your shor b'zayim on derech chaylik.
Thank you.
Yeah. Something on the part. Yaakov gives the brachas to the shvatim.
Right.
I don't exactly understand what these brachas are supposed to be. I mean, I was looking at the midrashim to see what they say. It says. He asks Hashem to be maskim, and we see that Hashem is maskim, but they mostly seem like small nevuahs. I mean, it seems that the Sforno even says he wanted to do a hadracha. For Dani says there's going to be someone in Shimshon who comes out of you, he's going to be a Mashiach for Yisrael, and he's going to get his two eyes ripped out, and then he's going to top up. How is that hadracha? That's a small nevuah. What's going to happen?
It's a good kasha. Well, on one hand, first of all, part of the TLS is to give them the voice. In other words, that's how it begins. I will tell you what will happen to you, Yacharis HaYamim, which is the whole history. So there is something in which the goal of this, and that's not appropriate, the goal of this is to be Magala to them, certainly not him, because presumably if they know it ahead of time, they can make hachonis to be roy for those things. But on a deeper level, what you have to go through is that giving them a bracha is really identifying what is the sherish of their neshama and what is their mahalik and avedas Hashem. So even when, for example, by dawn he talks about Shemshon, right? So he's being megala to them the nekudas in Shemshon, which come from the godless and the kayach and the
shemshon. Does anybody have an example of what that might be in one?
Well, Yisachar is the most obvious example. Yisachar Chamor Garim. So the Chamor that is Naisei Masa is the Kayach of Asmada of Tayyar, right? So he's identified. Yisachar, your Kayach is you have the ability to.
Yeah, that one's not Nebuah. By one of them that he has it, like by Adon, but the. I mean, God, I didn't understand. God is, you're gonna be Me'ivar Yardin, but you're gonna go in, don't worry, you're gonna go in and fight. How is that at all a good thing? Necessarily. Moshe Rabbeinu was angry at them when they asked.
Well, they were angry, but what he's telling them is that the kayach that is let's say God. So the kayach that is tamun with you is to take an achrayis for a tzibur, even if it's no direct benefit to you. Right? That was the title. They are living Eved Yarden. They don't get a tayalis directly from the kibush of Eretz Israel. But you should know that your kayach is that you take an achrayis. Even when it's not Nogay, you direct. I'd say things like that. In other words, it's kind of. I mean, I don't have a malach necessarily on each one, but what you have to look for, I think Rabbeinu B'chaim may give you some pessimism. Mm-hmm. You have to look for the Nevuah as being Megala to them what their spiritual Kayash is. And the Mela, they should be Metapal in it, they should be Mesak in it, they should strengthen it, because that will be the Derech of their Avodas Hashem. That's what Rav Hirsch says in that. Ish kibir chasai beirachosah. What does that mean? Each person was blessed according to their bracha. Well, what does that mean? So he says, each person was blessed according to the bracha that's already in their teva. Because Yaakov is revealing to them what is already their bracha. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the end of this.
And how do you understand telling them in Avu of something that's going to happen, seemingly? It's up to them. God going, picking me every Yardin, and the whole back and forth between the Moshe Rabbeinu,
Shimshon
becoming a Nazir and marrying the Lilan, going, doing whatever.
Well, what's interesting here is that it depends how you learn those Midrashim. This is actually very, very tricky. Mm-hmm. It's not automatically Muchrach that Yaakov is telling them this. Yaakov is Megala's spiritual Shirusha, which will find their manifestation in Meisim, and in the words that he uttered, whether Yaakov knew it or not, is Nichlal L'Shainas, like Hashem put these words in Yaakov's mouth, Nichlal L'Shainas, that will refer to events that will happen. But the Etzem message that they're hearing, and the Etzem message that Yaakov is communicating, is a message that refers to the spiritual Kayach, which led to those Meisim. So even with God, the Eibushter put words in Yaakov's mouth that can have a mashmois of the Eved L'Yardin Maisa. But the Shvatim may not have heard Eved L'Yardin Maisa. But Yaakov is referring to the Kayach of Achrayis, being a Gedud, being an army that will fight for people. So that's a tricky thing. In other words, when the Medrash says that a certain Lashayin has a mashmois of a certain Maisa, it doesn't mean that the person is consciously either is aware, or even if he's aware, even if Yaakov Avinu knows with Ruach HaKodesh, it could be he's not telling them that. Because you're right, that would be intrinsically Shver, because he's then taking away Bechira. I mean, he's telling them, this is what you're going to do, so then they're supposed to do it.
Let me just show me examples of that.
Right, these are examples of the Shirish. And the fact that we can see it from Yaakov's words just means that Kaddish Baruch Hu put the words in his mouth that have a mashmais to that maisa.
But these Shirashim could have taken on any form of words on the same idea, right. But these words were specifically
right.
Picked.
Right. That's a good kasha.
Other than Rabbeinu Chaya, where else should I look for these?
Maybe a first, if you have a first measure, because it's good.